Good afternoon, everyone. It's Monday the 9th of February, and I'm not taking part in the February challenge. I decided not to, although I'm enjoying listening to other people's contributions. And I just listened to one by Calmwater73 about trusting someone when you shouldn't do. Now, I just wanted to talk about something. This is what sparked it off, but it's not exactly the same thing. But as I'm not taking part in the challenge, it doesn't really matter. But it's about hurtful stuff online when people really, I don't know, I wasn't directly in the firing line, but it was over me and I felt like I was being kicked when I was down, and it was a very unpleasant and uncomfortable experience. A few years ago, I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, a friend of mine set up a Google group for assistance dog handlers, and we didn't have that many members. It wasn't a huge list. He made me the moderator. Unfortunately, at the end of 2011, he actually passed away, and I kept the list going. We discussed it, and I said, well, because, you know, he'd started it up only the year before, I think, we decided to keep it going in his memory. Now, I could approve people, I could moderate people, I had all the things I wanted to, you know, I could, the power to do stuff, but the one thing I couldn't do was make myself a moderator. He hadn't given me that power, because I suppose he obviously didn't envisage what was going to happen, not at all. He's only a young guy, 33. And when the time came that I wanted to leave, I knew it would spell the death of the group, because I couldn't make anyone else moderator in my place. So that meant that no new people could join, because once I was gone, no one could be approved. You needed approval for this list, and I couldn't come back once I'd gone. But in the end, I didn't regret it, because I was just so upset at the time. Now, we had a few people on the list that were, I'd say, troublemakers, and why I didn't kick them off, I don't know. I won't give their names, but I can describe them, and you might know them from email lists, those of you who've subscribed to them over the years. One is a woman. She's a spinster. She is probably in her early 60s now. She can be very vindictive, very spiteful, very outspoken, extremely rude. She can also be really nice. And the other one is a man who's deafblind. Again, he's around about the same age. He wears his deafblindness as a badge. I can do this and I can do that, because I, you know. Anyway, he can also be an extremely unpleasant individual. I've had trouble with him on lists when I was a moderator on another list and had to remove him, and he continually hounded me off list. And in fact, whenever I joined any other email list that he was a member of, he would say I unfairly dismissed him, and he would bring it all up on the list for everybody. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. He's a bastard anyway, and she's a bitch. So, as everyone probably knows by now, we had a house fire at the beginning of 2013 in which we lost everything, really. We managed to salvage some things like photos, and one of our cats died and the house was, you know, wrecked. We had to have it completely redecorated, and, well, we didn't. The Housing Association claimed it on their insurance. Luckily, I had contents insurance. I had to go and live at my parents for 4 months, and my sons went to their dad's. And it was winter time, which the time of year, it was January. I hate this time of year. It's not so bad when you get to February, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But January, the day after New Year's Day, what a start to the new year. So I had two computers at the time, a laptop and a netbook. Now, my laptop had been open on my desk. I hadn't shut the lid down. I turned it off. It was absolutely smothered in soot. I did manage to plug in my portable hard drive, which was in a bag and had fared better. And I managed to get off of it what I wanted. I mean, I usually backed up regularly anyway, but I managed to get off the stuff that I hadn't done and salvage it. But it was very, very slow, because it had got all this gunk inside it. And I also had a netbook, which I didn't even bother with, because I'm sure that was just gone, you know. So I was actually without a computer I was at my parents'. I felt pretty isolated. I felt pretty shaken up by it all. I felt kind of discombobulated because the family was all split up. Obi was still in Nigeria. I was about to, you know, my kidneys were getting worse by the day, and I was about to go on to dialysis. I wasn't depressed. I always try and keep kind of cheerful if I can. I mean, I do get down sometimes, but I try and, you know, get back up again. But I was very cut off. I had a phone. It wasn't an iPhone, so it wasn't. I couldn't use it on the internet because it was an E70, a Nokia E72, and it just didn't work on the internet with talks. I don't know why it didn't, but it just never did. It was okay for texts and stuff, but that was about as far as it went, and calls. Reply. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry, it's my son. The younger one. Sorry, I meant to turn the speech off when I started this. And so my friend, who's been a lifelong friend, we've known each other, we both went to the same two schools for the blind. I've known her since I was seven, and that was a long time ago, believe me. And we've stayed in touch over the years. You know, we've had our ups and downs, don't get me wrong, but she's always been a good friend to me. She didn't like to think of me being cut off. She is also deafblind, although she had a cochlear implant last year and she can hear a bit of speech now, which is fantastic. But, you know, she, you know, it's not like I could ring her up and talk to her on the phone. I couldn't, you know, she was missing me too. So the day after the fire, it might have even been the same day, she had an idea. We were on several different lists together, one called DFHP and ViGen Access and the Guide Dog List. They were the three ones that people contributed. And she threw it open for people to contribute to buy me a new laptop as a gift, because I'd been through a lot and because I had nothing left and because I was cut off. And people didn't have to contribute, you know. They raised £400, for which I will be eternally grateful. And a laptop was purchased, and Julia and her husband came down to see me at my mum's, and we went out for something to eat. We took the dogs for a run in the park, and they gave me the laptop, and it was all very nice. And they did a little a screensaver for the thing that I can't see, but people read it out, and it's got everyone's names, you know, and the wish and a lovely message. When I put my computer on, it comes on saying from, you know, and it says it's got a quotation about from the ashes the phoenix will rise, and it's got a picture of a phoenix. I know I might have been called an old bird before, but anyway, there you go. So it was really lovely, but underlying all this was a lot of hostility on the UK. I'm not going to say the name of it. Okay, I will, because no one can join it now anyway. The UK assistance dogs list, Google list. These two people decided they didn't want to give to the fund, which was fine. I didn't expect them to. And at the time, I wasn't even on the list to talk about it and give my opinion, because I was out of circulation because I didn't have a computer. And my mum had a small netbook, which I'd bought her a few years before, but the battery was gone on it, and I couldn't, you know, I could only sit for a limited time with it plugged in. You know, it wasn't very easy to use, and it was so slow. It kept freezing all the time because it was on its last legs, basically. So I didn't know all this was going on, you know. And they argued, saying they didn't want to give to the fund. The man said it was illegal what Julia was doing. Oops, shit. Oh, well, sorry. What she was doing, it was illegal to raise money for me because I was double claiming it on the insurance. Now, as everyone knows, insurers do not pay out in full for most things. I needed new laptops, but they would not give me the full value of my laptop because it wasn't new when it got destroyed. But that doesn't make much sense, because you have to still have to buy a new one, and it's going to be a new price. So what it was doing was actually giving me a bit more money for other stuff, which, you know, I still never got everything, because the irony was that I'd tried to cut costs just before it happened, and I'd reduced my the payout, the amount, I'd reduced it by half, thinking I'd never need it, The month before. So I got most of the main things, but there were lots of things I couldn't get at the time. But anyway, they wrangled on, and then there was another person who I'd actually liked and respected a lot, and she said that it was remiss of my friend to assume that I wanted a laptop. Why not get me some cutlery or clothes? And the thing is, I didn't want cutlery and crockery and clothes. I knew I'd have the insurance money to get them. I couldn't use them. I was at my mum's. I didn't need them then. So I didn't want, it wasn't anything to do with me. It wasn't even in my hands. This was the hurtful bit, because they kind of made it out like I was being money grabbing, and I wasn't. It wasn't my idea. I didn't even know anything about it to start with. Julia would text me, because she's got a thing that does braille, that connects to a mobile phone and it with a braille display. So she would text me, and she told everyone about the fire, and she told me all. Everyone sent my good wishes, and you know, she sent me all, you know, people say, oh, tell her I'm thinking of her and all that. And she passed on every single message that people said, a message of goodwill. But of course, she had to tell me about the crap as well, because, well, I needed to know what was being said. And, okay, I hadn't got many clothes. I managed to salvage a few things and wash them, and they came up okay. But Julia gave me some of her stuff that she didn't need anymore. I had another friend that came, you know, till the insurance money came. I had another dear friend from school who came down, and her and her husband took me out for a meal, and they offered to take me shopping and buy clothes, but I wouldn't take it, because I'm not like that. I said, oh, no, don't worry, please. I mean, you know, but I appreciated people's kindness, and I really did appreciate it, because, and when I got that laptop, it was a lifeline again, because I needed it, you know. I needed it, a lot of it, for, you know, at the time I was going through the ESA application. I needed it to write down my answers, to fill in the form for that. I needed it for, all the insurance stuff needed to be done online. I also needed it for Obley's application. And, you know, it takes several months for these things to come through with the insurance, plus the fact they were totally inadequate, inept, they were useless. They did things like, they sent me a cheque. They sent me a couple of £1,000 cheque as an interim payment to be getting, because the kids didn't have any clothes. I was looking forward to having a big spend up on clothes. I never had it, because there wasn't enough money for that. I just got by getting a few bits here and there. I gave that money to the kids for clothes. That was my first priority. They didn't have clothes, only had what they walked out in and a few other bits they managed to grab, basically. So I gave them £1,000 each for clothes. But they did, the insurance company did things like, they knew I wasn't living at the house. It was inhabitable, obviously. And they sent my cheque here. When I told them, please send it to my parents' house and give them the address. Twice they did that. And I didn't have access to the house, because after a certain time, I had to hand the keys back, because it was classed as a building site. And it, for health and safety reasons, I wasn't allowed to come in unsupervised. Plus, we needed a new front door anyway, so, you know. Actually, I never handed the keys in, because they just put a new door on, so. So, it was very, very hurtful to me that when someone tries to do something good, there's always somebody there to blight it, and these people really blighted it. And of course, when I got back online, the arguing was still continuing, and I didn't want to go into details. They said, and I discussed it with people, and they said there was nothing illegal about what my friend had done. She wasn't trying to double the insurance. It was just a gift from friends, which I won't ever forget. It was one of the nicest things people have ever done for me, I think. Because it wasn't just her, it was her idea. But, you know, lots of people contributed. And I did write to all of them and thank them. And they were happy to contribute, do you know what I mean? It's not, they didn't have to. And so I said to these two on the list, I said, you know, I don't expect you to contribute. I don't mind that you don't. It doesn't mean to say I could think any less of you, to be honest. But at that point, I couldn't think much less of them if I tried. But, you know, I wouldn't condemn someone because they didn't want to give. That's fine. You know, I was overwhelmed by people's generosity. So, you know, if people didn't want to give, that's their choice. You know, and so it was, I don't know, I can't express it, how hurtful it was. It was like really kicking someone when they're down. It was like, almost like they didn't even believe it. They thought I was just trying to get money out. Some of the things they said, you know, they were so hurtful. And in the end, I just couldn't take it anymore. So I killed their list, really. I think they're still going on it. I don't think there's much traffic on it now because my friend stayed on there to see what happened. But I basically killed it so it couldn't grow. I mean, maybe it was a bit of a spiteful thing to do, but I just had enough, you know. I couldn't close it down. I couldn't seem to get any sense out of anybody to close the list down. So I just did the next. I mean, I could have kicked them off, but I thought, well, let them get on with it. I'm not going to be that spiteful. I'll just leave the list. That means that no one can ever join it. And so they're just left. In the end, there'll probably be just those two miserable, horrible people who seem to enjoy bringing chaos and disharmony to the groups they belong to. I don't know about in their personal lives because I don't know. I've never had the misfortune to meet either of them, thankfully. I'm sure some people who, if they listen to this, will know who I'm talking about. But to me, that was a very, very hurtful experience, to know that they begrudged, not that they begrudged giving, because that was fine, but that they begrudged other people doing it and they wanted to cause a stir and say, you know, you might be in contravention of rules with your insurance and all this stuff. That was extremely hurtful and something at the time I could have quite frankly done without. I had enough to be dealing with. We did, the whole family, you know, as a family we had a lot to be dealing with at the time. And, you know, most people were overwhelmingly kind and nice, but these two people just had to get in there and be their usual vindictive, vile selves. I can't even remember all the things they said. I've blotted it out. It's gone from my memory. But that was the general gist of it, that she was wrong to be doing it, and they had a go at her. They made her feel bad when she'd only been trying to do something good. The third person wasn't as bad, but I did start up my own closed group, which is very quiet now. Not many people post on it, for people from there, if they wanted to move, which most did. But of course, they never got invited. And I would have liked to have had the third person on, that one that kept saying, well, maybe she should have clothes and maybe she should have this and clothes for the kids and stuff like that. And I'm not being funny, but I'm not blaming. You know, I wouldn't expect, well, I didn't expect anything, but, you know, I wouldn't expect other people to fund clothes for my kids. Do you know what I mean? And they said, another thing they said was something about dog food, because I get my dog food paid for by guide dogs. They said something like, what did they say? It was something about getting dog food when guide dogs already pay for it. Something about claiming the dog food on insurance. I didn't claim for the dog food on insurance. You know, they said all stuff like that. In fact, I had to buy my own because I hadn't got the insurance money through, and I'd only just got one lot of food from guide dogs delivered like the week before or something. It was a whole container, and the fire brigade and the forensics people and guide dogs told me not to use it because it was probably contaminating. It was right in the thick of it, in a plastic container, because it was quite low down on the ground. The worst of the heat damage was higher up, but, you know, it was right in the cupboard where the fuse box is, and that was all burnt out. So I went to Pets at Home and I bought a bag of food for him. I couldn't get the exact food that he needed, and of course I couldn't get online. That was the other thing. I couldn't get online to order it. and I didn't want guide dogs to have to pay out another lot of food when I just kind of wasted it, even though it wasn't my fault, and I'm sure they wouldn't have minded. But so I went to Pets at Home and I just bought him the ordinary one, which he did fine on, not the sensible one, Royal Canin Sensible, which he's on. I got him the ordinary Royal Canin adult dog or whatever it is from off the shelf at Pets at Home. I just bought that, and you know, and I did eventually get another bag of food. You know, obviously that's not going to last, didn't last me 4 months. So when that bag was finished, I got guide dogs to deliver, or their suppliers to deliver, Crown Pet Foods, to deliver a new bag to my mum's address, which was fine. So, you know, I found that very helpful. They thought I was going to claim for guide dogs for food on the insurance when I did no such thing. You know, I didn't do that. Anyway, for things like that, they give you a flat rate. I think it's about £300 or £400. You know, that's as much as they can give you for certain things, and that includes all perishable stuff like food, stuff in the freezer, and things like that. So, whether they included it in there, I don't know, but I'm pretty certain I had more than, because it was Christmas. It was New Year, and I had a lot of food still in the freezer and stuff like that. So I'd lost a lot of perishable food. So if they included that in there, I didn't put it down. They just wrote down, perishable goods, and how much, you know. The people who cleared the house did that. And they wrote down a list of all the stuff. They wrote a list of all the stuff they had to destroy. Basically, and that was another thing with the insurance company. I didn't get it in an accessible format. It was like a photo scan, and Connor had to type it all out for me. I did put it in I've got insurance through Barclays Bank. That's who I bank with, and or with whom I bank, should I say? And I did put an official complaint in about them, the loss adjusters, because they were totally useless, absolutely totally useless. You know, in so many ways and at so many levels. You know, I got the money in the end, but it was a struggle because they didn't quibble over it or anything. It's just that they were so inefficient with everything. And, you know, totally inept. But anyway, I didn't take kindly to being accused of doing stuff like that, because I didn't and I wouldn't. And as I say, I ended up out of pocket. Because I had to go, and my dog has to eat. And so, you know, I had to go and buy his food. So there, that's something, that an experience that happened to me, which again, I found very hurtful. Even though it was online. And, you know, you can hear of people, I mean, I didn't feel anything like this, but people get suicidal over stuff online, you know, teenagers and even older people. And so we I guess should be sort of careful. I've you know, had arguments with people before, and but I'll never start an argument. Especially online, I will never start an argument, but I would stick up for myself if someone attacks me. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and take it, but I won't start it. But I didn't get into it. I didn't even get into an argument with this lot. I just said, OK, I've had enough. I've gone. I just wrote an email to the group just saying, telling them a bit about my experience. I didn't go into the insurance issues or anything like that. I just told them how the fire happened, what the experience was like, how much it had meant to me that people were wishing me well, and that they raised the money, and I got back, you know, I was able to have my computer, so I was able to get on with things in my life, which I needed to do, like the insurance claim and Obie's application and stuff for the kids and everything, and my ESA forms. And generally, being, you know, feeling not isolated, being able to go on Facebook and stuff. I mean, okay, that's not the be-all and end-all, but of what people, you know, of what you use your computer for, but when you're isolated like that, it was important to me. Also, I was able to download my Audible books again and listen to them. So that helped me. You know, I had many an hour to kill when I was at my parents' with not a lot to do. So I was thankful to have an internet connection to be able to do that, because I certainly wouldn't have been able to do it on my mum's netbook. She had bought another laptop for herself, but it didn't have JAWS on. I don't like using it, someone else's laptop, because especially someone who's, I mean, she's never had any computer lessons. She just sort of learnt it as she goes along. And I didn't really want to have to keep taking JAWS on and off every time I used it. And I didn't want to piss her off by doing things on her computer that she didn't know how to undo and stuff like that. So she let me use her old netbook until for a few weeks. And then when I got the new one, I was able to do things like go on Facebook and get on with the things I needed to do and do my shopping, because obviously I still needed to, my animals were all there and I wanted to make a contribution to the household. So, you know, we'd take turns doing, you know, we'd both do an order every week from Tesco's or wherever, and I would, you know, sometimes buy things for her and she would get things for me. We would share the cost, because that was only fair. So I was able to do that. Anyway, I think I've waffled on long enough, so I'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now. Oops.